You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. There are teachers whose words are handed down from generation to generation, whose insights remain as relevant today as they were when they were very first spoken. Neville Goddard, I don't know if you know of his lessons, was one such teacher. Working primarily in the 1940s and 50s, he stood before audiences in cities across America and shared a message of manifestation potential and how that could be unlocked in each and every one of us. You and I are in a very material dimension, the third dimensional state of being, where we can tangibly experience all material things using our five senses. These senses, they help us to connect with and navigate the dimension we're in. They're designed that way. Even when there is something that does not exist in this dimension, though, it doesn't mean it can't exist somewhere else in a different one. Perhaps everything exists somewhere, but in our dimension, we only get to experience a small percentage of that complete everything. What we desire already exists then, but it does not exist in the material dimension that we are most aware in, and so it feels, well, inaccessible for us, quite literally the stuff of our dreams. Using Goddard's techniques, we can lasso those desires from the place they really do exist and then pull them plop into this material state with us here and now. Excellent. I think it's worth experimenting with, isn't it? Goddard's central teaching was something like this. You're able to change your material world through the skilled use of your imagination. While your five senses can't connect with anything beyond our material dimension, our imagination can. And by using the creative mind, it's possible to not only reach into that other dimensional space where what we desire does exist, but using some really simple techniques, we can actually hook those desires and pull them right into this state of being where our other senses can then actually get to enjoy them. This isn't theory for Neville. It was something he studied, and the mastery of this was his lived experience. He tested and repeated and proved it again and again, and both in his own life and in the lives of the countless students who applied his methods, this was a reality. Like me, Goddard knew that to claim something like this was not going to be enough to convince anyone of anything, or at least the people that I know wouldn't have accepted it simply on face value. Goddard also understood that people need more than just concepts and theories. They wanted proof. They needed to experience the creative power of their consciousness directly. And Neville believed absolutely in the power of imagination as the creative force behind all manifestation, and that then was what he taught. Right the way up until his death, which was in the early 1970s, Neville devoted himself to teaching the same message. You're not a victim of circumstances, even if you might think or you might feel it looks that way from where you stand. You are actually a lot more powerful than you think you are. You're the creator of your experiences through the power of your consciousness and your imagination, so use it. Given the choice between feeling victimized or empowered, which would you choose? I know which I'd prefer. And so although I'm a marvelous manifester already, and because I am humble enough to know that you can always make room for more valuable knowledge, I've been experimenting with Neville Goddard's teaching at the moment, and I wanted to share a bit more about it with you today, as it's such important knowing. What made Neville unique among spiritual teachers, I think, was his insistence on testing. He didn't ask for anyone to believe him or have a kind of blind faith. He gave his students specific techniques, and then he challenged them to prove or disprove the principles for themselves. And I love that. I'm the same. I'm not interested in only the theory or generalized application of a method. I want to reach beyond this and see the results in my own lived experiences. Speak about it firsthand. I certainly can't recommend something unless I believe in it absolutely. When I first studied Neville's works, the wall that I kept hitting up against, and we all find them, don't we, the thing that blocks us from truly being able to access, was the word imagination. You see, back at the start, imagination to me felt somewhat fluffy, not very concrete, a sort of a fantasy or a dreamlike state. Are you the same? And then, as I worked with Neville's teachings more, I realised that he wasn't talking about imagination in the way I was interpreting it. My first profound shift when I was working with Neville Goddard's teaching was that I no longer assumed imagination was what I felt it was. I had been led to believe that the imagination was certain types of imaginary things, fantasy-like things, intangible, inaccessible, wishcraft of kinds. But I learned that I was wrong. What if, rather than being something fantastical and illusionary, what if your imagination was a completely different sense altogether, a tool? Perhaps your imagination is a way of seeing into the dimension where all things are, that room of requirement, using a completely different sense altogether from what we feel it was. This changed things for me entirely. What if imagination is really a highly sophisticated interdimensional tool? That began to make more sense.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano. Flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street,
you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the ukhealthradio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So how did Neville set about proving his theory of how thoughts become material things? Neville came up with something called the ladder experiment. If you've already come across Neville's work already, then I'm certain you'll have learned about this. But just in case you haven't, let me try and take you through one of his most famous challenges that he invited all of his students to practice. But just before we explore and share in the ladder experiment itself together, we first have to understand the very foundation that this challenge, this experiment, is based upon. Neville taught that imagination is not idle dreaming, a fantasy as we have come to believe it. It's not true, and I now understand this absolutely. Imagination is a tool in your workshop of creation. When you imagine something, especially when you imagine something truly, exquisitely, vividly, when you feel it as if it's real, well, you're not pretending or fantasizing anymore. What you're doing is you are crafting something, finding something in that other state of being where it exists. So you as a being of consciousness are in the act of creating something that now truly exists. It exists because you've sculpted it. And even though it's not material for you yet in this third dimension, in another dimension it is now fully present, albeit potentially in non-material form, because we don't really know what form it's in when it's not in material form. We think it's in thought form, perhaps it's in energetic form, whatever form it is not in the material form. But with the right focus, it can and will be transformed out of non-material form and into the material form where we want it to be. And do you know what? I've been playing with this. I've been practicing this. This happens really easily. It happens very quickly too. As a manifestor, I typically find I manifest whatever it is that I'm seeking in 3 days. And if it doesn't arrive entirely in that 3 days, I can be rest assured I have unshakable belief that it is underway. In order to supercharge whatever Neville was describing, he said what you do is just create your vivid visualizations in your imagination, but do it in that drowsy, sleepy twilight just before you drift into unconsciousness and get a good night's sleep. In that gap, it takes you from being awake and it prevents you from just falling asleep. And it's in that state where the analytical, critical mind that trips us up with everything, it just relaxes, it sort of untightens its grip, and the barriers between pure imagination and absolute reality, well, those lines, they dissolve. It all becomes a very grey area. And what you impress upon the consciousness when you're in that state, it really sinks deep into the subconscious realm where it begins its work of manifestation. It's in this state, Goddard says, that imagination can be seeded into the creative soil of consciousness. And once there, it exists entirely, waiting to form into something material if you will allow it. It's so simple a technique that you could be forgiven for asking, well, is that it? When you hear about it, is that it? Is it really that simple? All I have to do is to construct a scene that demonstrates my desire was fulfilled, and then I get it? Well, actually, yes. You imagine the scene, vividly, exquisitely, and you pack it full of rich sensations and you feel the reality of it to the best of your ability. And you loop and loop the same scene and the same feelings over and over gently in your mind as you are falling asleep. Remember, vividly visualizing and then feeling that your wish is fulfilled. And then you let it go. You've planted the seed in consciousness and you must now trust the process of manifestation. And just like if you put a sunflower seed into fertile soil, you plant the seed, you feed warm and water it, and then you just wait for the seedling to emerge from the ground when the time is right. When I plant a sunflower seed, no matter how tempted I am, I don't go back every few hours to see if the plant sprouted yet. I don't say, when will the seed come up out of the ground? I simply plant the seed and have absolute belief that the plant will emerge when the conditions are right. And I think this is what Neville means too. But Neville knew that people doubt these kinds of things. Yes, they hear these principles, but they feel that they are too good to be true. And so they quite rightly want some level of proof. This is why Neville created the lever experiment. The experiment itself is elegantly simple, designed to demonstrate the way this works. And there are two parts to it. And the first part takes place at bedtime. Neville instructs his students, he said, imagine that you're climbing a ladder. He chose this because his students would rarely, if ever, need to climb one. And each night, before falling asleep, they were to construct a vivid scene of themselves climbing a ladder. Just the ladder, nothing else. They would feel their hands on the rungs. Feel their feet as they climbed those rungs, feel the movement of their body as it was ascending, the sturdiness of the structure, make everything about it as real as possible. And they would do this for, say, I don't know, 7 nights in a row, or until it felt so natural that this act was second nature. They didn't have to craft it. Everything was already in place. And then the second part of the exercise, which took place during the daytime, though, Neville told them to do something completely different. He would ask the same students to repeat a phrase to themselves over and over and over throughout the day. And the phrase was, I will not climb a ladder. I will not climb a ladder. Over and over they'd say it, I will not climb a ladder. So now there's a stark conflict. And the result would, Neville said, identify of the two practices which would be more powerful. The conscious statement, I will not climb the ladder, rooted in the third dimensional state of being, or the imagined experience of climbing the ladder embedded in a realm outside the 3D. The results were conclusive and they were consistent. Within days, sometimes even within a single day, circumstances would rearrange themselves so that the students each found themselves climbing ladders. A neighbour would ask for help reaching something on a high shelf. A work situation would require ascending a ladder. An unexpected need would arise that could only be met by climbing a ladder that would conveniently also appear. And naturally, the students would climb the ladder in real life, and then they'd realise that despite their best efforts, telling themselves, I will not climb a ladder, that was exactly what they'd ended up doing. Their imagination had proven, without a shadow of a doubt, to be significantly more powerful than their conscious resistance ever was. The ladder experiment is not really about ladders, though, is it? It's about the nature of consciousness and the act of creation. The ladder experiment, if anything, demonstrates that what you imagine in vivid detail, These aren't childish fantasies. They result in creation. When you imagine something vividly and feel it so exquisitely as if it's real, you're actually setting those forces in motion. You're impressing a pattern onto formless stuff, and that formlessness receives your instruction and immediately begins to take the shape of it. There's no option but for that then to materialize for you. It reveals that whatever you're thinking about is much less powerful than whatever you vividly imagine. You can tell yourself all day long that something won't happen. You can tell yourself all days that something you hope will happen. But if you have impressed it well enough into your imagination through feeling and imagination during that sleepy state, it will manifest regardless of what you might tell yourself about it. This is why positive thinking alone probably won't work. You can affirm abundance whilst feeling poverty, and you can declare success while occupying the state of failure. Words mean nothing. The subconscious act of creation, that state of being, is everything. The experiment also shows how manifestation works. It's perfection. The students didn't find ladders materializing out of thin air. Instead, the world around them rearranged itself, and situations and connections and events rearranged themselves to manifest the opportunity, and shifts arose so that the ladder needed to appear and did appear through perfectly normal channels. Yet the timing and necessity of it were orchestrated by consciousness to perfection. This is how all manifestation works. It's a beautiful system. So when you change your inner state, the outer world shifts to match it. Always, unfailingly, this is one of the universal laws. There's no option. It must shift to meet your deep and vividly crafted imaginings. My name's Amanda Nelson, and this is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. And on my show this week, I'm inviting you to explore some of Neville Goddard's approaches to manifestation with me. And I'd love you to take part in some co-manifestation with me, actually. Let's all try out these practices, not necessarily with a ladder though, and see what wonderful things we can create in our lives. I'm going to play with this manifestation a bit more further, and meanwhile, I'll be delighted if you could come and join in at some point in the near the future. Maybe send me a direct email. It's amanda@themasterenergist.com. And if there are enough people that would love to be part of a co-creating manifestation group with me, as long as you let me know, then I can get back to you after I've put something in place and we can create that community together. There is power, you see, in collective intention, in collective manifestation. When consciousness unites in a shared state, the effect amplifies.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My name's Amanda Nelson and this is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. And on my show this week, I'm inviting you to explore some of Neville Goddard's approaches to manifestation. And I'd love you to take part in some co-manifestation with me, actually. Let's all try out these practices, though not necessarily with the ladder, and see what wonderful things we might be able to create in our lives. I'm going to play with this manifestation technique a little bit more. And meanwhile, I'd be absolutely thrilled and delighted if you would come and join in at some point with me in the near future. So if you can send me a direct email, amanda@themasterenergist.com. And if there are enough people that would love to be a part of a co-creating manifestation group, well, I'll get back to you after I've put something in place so we can create a manifestation community together. There is real power in collective intention. Now, if you like, you might like to try the ladder experiment first. It's not necessary, though, but if you'd like to test this out yourself, then please go ahead. And once you've proven to yourself that the ladder experiment, that imagination creates reality, and once this happens and you've accepted that you and only you are responsible for whatever you're experiencing, that you're responsible for everything in your life, it means that you can then actively, consciously, discerningly and deliberately set about being responsible for whatever you choose to create in your life next. Marvellous! It's a liberating feeling and it really sets you free because now you're driving the manifestation as opposed to being on the receiving end alone. The same principle, though, that makes you create the ladder to climb is the same principle that can be applied to anything. Health, relationships, abundance, career, success in anything. You construct a vivid scene, one that suggests you've fulfilled your desire, and then wait for it to arrive in material form, just like the ladder. Now, can I just add something of my own here that maybe can help? Often those in the world of the law of attraction and manifestation will say that you focus on the way you feel when what you desire will have manifested. But I choose to do this slightly differently, actually, and it's always worked for me. So often they talk about excitement and being thrilled and amazed and lots of highly charged vibrational emotions. And I really get that. But that's not how I manifest. I have a much lazier kind of manifestation style. It's very laid back. So the way I do it, let's say that you were unwell, perhaps seriously unwell, and you wanted to manifest a really clean bill of health. Generally, people might say, oh, imagine how you would feel when you were given this clean bill of health by the doctor. And I get it. That would be a fantastic moment. And people might say, oh, I'd feel so alive and fabulous and thrilled or such. But to be fair, I don't think any of us have any idea how we would feel in that moment. However, I have learned that you can imagine in exquisite detail what it would be like now that you are completely recovered to be sitting on that cruise ship deck, on that lounger, in that sunshine, eating something delicious that you would not have been able to do unless you had achieved that complete recovery. And knowing, just knowing that you are only there in that imagined state because you were in the very, very best of health. That's the moment to focus upon. Because once you've imagined that state of health has arrived and it's fully integrated and become a full-time part of your life, well, you can really feel the difference there. And it's not about that high-octane kind of mobility and upward transcending energy and that kind of whooshy energy that you can get when someone's very excited about something. This is a kind of acceptance. It's a form of integration. It's an absolute, well, I can't be doing that unless I've already achieved this. So another example, what if I'd run up a really large financial debt and I vividly imagined a letter arriving through the post, and instead of being worried about the contents of the letter, I said to myself in my vivid imagine, oh, only good things arrive in the post. And I also vividly imagine myself opening the lovely creamy coloured envelope only to find a cheque inside made out to me for double the amount of my debt. And in that moment of release, knowing that the struggle was over forever, that's the feeling that I would feel. That's the one that I would focus upon, because I would know my burden was gone and I was able to expand and be unlimitedly free again. So when I manifest, I focus on those emotions, what the achievement of that desire creates for me longer term, not in the moment that it is achieved, not when I pass the finishing line, what's beyond that finishing line. I don't focus on the fleeting moment of good news. If I wanted an abundant lifestyle, then after the initial novelty of being rich wore off, how would I feel then as I lived my life? What are the choices I would be making as a person who was wealthy? How would I feel when I woke up each day, when I no longer had the burdens that presented themselves to me? How would that feel? Focus on the way of life that you would feel once whatever it was that you had desired had manifested and integrated and become your new normal. That's what I focus on. I hope it helps. As soon as you can vividly feel the seed is sent into the creative consciousness, it's simply a case of then waiting for the universe to rearrange itself and to then bring it into your being. Keep feeling that response to the freedom of being able to live in that free state, right? Those long-term free states. If you were to become significantly wealthy, once the novelty of being wealthy had worn off, you would be in a state of peace and contentment in that state of wealth. And once you got the all clear that your health was fully and completely and permanently recovered, you would have a phase of excitement, of course, and delight. And then you would return to a state of peace and harmony without the fear or the worry or the concern about your future. It's the peace and harmony type contentment energy I feel you want to focus upon. And while you're waiting in readiness to receive that marvellous transformation that's on its way to you, begin to behave in the way that reflects the peace and harmony and contentment already and nothing else. You are a match then for the feelings that you will feel when your desire truly becomes manifested. Neville called this living in the end. You imagine from the end result, from the place of already having it, and you occupy that state. You feel how you would feel if it were already done. And from that state, the means of its manifestation must inevitably appear. Manifestation techniques typically focus on the excitement and the verve of the moment. But Neville And I encourage you to find the state of being in the space of the desire, which has not only arrived, but is now fully integrated into the rest of your life. The peace, the harmony, the contentment of knowing you're in a full straight state of having received. If anything, then, the practice is in the maintenance of those peaceful, contented feelings, how you will feel once this is your new normal, to the feeling of the wish fulfilled before it shows up. But I think focusing on those feelings is all you really need to do once you've planted your seed into consciousness. So if you're new to this work, some teachers usually suggest you take baby steps, begin simply, start by asking for smaller things. But truly, as a manifester, I always tell my clients that the universe finds it no more difficult to manifest a big house than a small one, a big amount of money than loose change, a star system than a grain of sand. Things are never impossible, but they can be manipulated, though, by your limiting beliefs. So drop your limiting beliefs. If you want something, don't hold back. Don't be coy. Just go for it. If you really can't go from zero to hero in one step, though, because you have all sorts of blocks, and of course we have them, then by all means begin in a much smaller way. What about receiving an unexpected gift of any size in the next 3 days, or an unexpected kindness of any form, anything to be immensely grateful for that makes you feel appreciated on the inside, profoundly happy, truly deeply contented. Perhaps hearing from an old friend that you'd lost touch with. Perhaps it's finding the perfect parking space on a morning you are already late to your appointment. Construct a brief scene that could only have taken place when you have received whatever you imagine or desire has already arrived and has already integrated and fully bedded in. And make it all happen right here, in the right now, for you in the reality you're in right here, right now. Do it right here, right now, and make yourself a central part of the imagining. See what happens in your imagining, but do it through your own eyes. Feel what you are feeling with your own senses. The key, well, for me anyway, is to feel how I know I feel when the pressure is off, when the contentment is on, when it becomes my new normal. Each night as you prepare for sleep, let your body relax completely. Enter that drowsy state between waking and sleeping, and then gently run your scene. And you feel it as if it's real. Let it loop a few times until sleep takes you off to the land of Nod, and then allow it all to be taken care of. Do this for 7 nights in a row and assume that what you are seeking will now inevitably be seeking you. And when it manifests, and it will, you will then see how very naturally it appeared. And maybe you'll start to think of other things that you would like to set your intention upon. I wonder what will have happened in your world to bring it about. This is how marvelous manifestation is, and the magic of how it works. It always has been this way, and it always will be this way. So, as I said before, I'm playing with this manifestation a bit more, and meanwhile, I'll be delighted if you'd come and consider joining with my manifestation community at some point in the near future. Send me a direct email, amanda@themasterenergist.com, and if there are enough people that would like to be a part of a co-creating manifestation group, let me know. And I will put something in place so that we can create this marvelous community together. I've already had some clients that have expressed their interest, so I know we're off to a good start. And I believe that there is amplification power in collective intention. When consciousness unites in a shared state, the effect amplifies. Each evening at bedtime, I'm going to be entering the sleepy state and vividly intending that for myself and also for you, wherever you are, that you will be manifesting your heart's desire. and I will hold the consciousness that, as well as my wishes being fulfilled, that your wishes will be fulfilled as well. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can up-level any part of your life.